Okay, let's begin our discussion of Parshas Va'era. Parshas Va'era, Tavshin Pehe. Today's shiur is dedicated in memory of Basia Bas Nachum Ber, Mrs. Beatrice Cook, upon her 10th yahrzeit by Dr. Arthur and Linda Cook. We thank the Cooks for the sponsorship. Okay, we get into Va'era, the second Parsha here in Sefer Shmos, and we start off with a thought from the Apirion, Rav Shlomo Gansfried, the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and it's based on a Rashi. Based on a Rashi, and the pasuk vav pasuk hey. So the parak starts off, as we know, Kadosh Baruch Hu is still talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was last week was a little upset, to say the least, that things were getting worse after he didn't want to go at all, and Kadosh Baruch Hu finally made him go. And Hashem says, I spoke and I appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Ushmi Hashem lo nadati lohem. I was mekayim the bris. Ani shamati es nakas b'nei Yisrael sham Yisrael mavidim osam vo'ezkar es b'risi. So on Pasuk Hey, Rashi discusses what exactly is the connection between Pasuk Gimel and Dalid and Pasuk Hey. I appear to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. My name, Shmi Hashem l'nadati lehem, which Rashi says I didn't fulfill my promise. V'gam ekimosi es b'risi itam. I established my bris with them to give them Eretz Yisrael. And Shamati is Nakas B'nei Yisrael. So what is that? And Vagam Ani. So Rashi says, Kamoshi Safti Vehava Madati Abris, Yeshalai Lakayim. Well, in Pasuk Dalit, I mentioned that I made a covenant with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so I better fulfill it. So my fulfillment is I hear the cries. Right? Kamoshi Safti, Yeshalai Lakayim. Lefichach, Shamati is Nakas B'nei Yisrael Anuakim. Right? So there is as if there is a lefichach, right? I have to fulfill the bris, and therefore I heard the nakas, and I'm going to take them out. Hashem Yisrael ma'avidim osam. So that's Rashi. If you look in that Apirion, in source number one, he quotes the second half of the Rashi, that Moshe Rabbeinu complained, Lama Hariosa, why have you made things worse? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, the Avos didn't complain. The Lambos didn't complain, but Rashi is bothered. Again, Heches Micha Nimshechas Bedvarim Shusomech Lakan V'Gamani Shamati Lochein Emar Levnei Yisrael. So says the Apirion. Maybe hidden, embedded in this pasuk, is a hint to a discussion in the Rishonim, which we've had before. But again, a much discussed discussion on this week's parasha, and that is V'Nir Lefiyani Yizayti line 11. First of all, he says, there are two diyukim I want to make in the pasuk. Number one, betevas ani. Shenir kim yutar. What do you mean? Vegam ani shamati. Hashem's talking. What's the ani? Vayadailo mar vegam shamati. Shamati. When you're talking to somebody, you say shamati. Ani shamati? You don't say ani. Shamati. So what's the emphasis of ani shamati? Number one. Number two, od yesh ladaktik. Lama nomar asher mitzrayim ma'avidim osam. Why does it say that Mitzrayim is ma'avid? V'chiyadayin lo yadanu ki ha-Mitzrayim heim ha-ma'avidim osam. We know the Mitzrayim are the ones that are subjugating them. Right? So what is it? What's the emphasis of Mitzrayim ma'avidim osam? So what's the ani and what's the Mitzrayim? V'hayalachor adai lomar, it's enough to say v'gam ani shamati es nakas b'yisom ma'avod osam. So either way, leave one out. So says the Apirion, amazingly creative, two pshatim, one like the Rambam and one like the Ravid, as we'll see. Both alluded to in this pasuk. Alundus. Remember the Rambam's question. The Rambam, the Ravid, the Ramban all asked the question. Why do we have Parshas Va'era and Bo? Right? What's their question? What do we have the Makos for? It says in the Torah that Hashem spoke to Avraham Avinu by the Bris Ben Abasarim and said, already forecast, that we are going to be in a land that does not belong to us. Va'avadim ve'inu osam. Hare, Gazar HaKadosh Baruch Hu ala Mitzrayim, l'shta ben Am Yisrael. Hashem goes there on the Mitzrayim to subjugate us. V'yamayin etshu, why were they punished? Right, the Mitzrayim got all these punishments, the 10 makas. Right, so why were they punished if it was all forecast? It was supposed to be, it was meant to be. Hashem said, we are going to be in a strange land. Va'avadim ve'inu osam. So why were the Mitzrayim deserving to be punished? So the Rambam Shita is Hilchos Teshuva V'Tirei, line 23. The Rambam said, Lefisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo gazar ala Mitzrayim. Bipratus, Shem Yishtabdu Am Yisrael. Right, if you look in the Bris Ben Abasarim, it doesn't say the Mitzrayim are going to subjugate the Jews. It says, a strange nation will subjugate the Jews. Ela shehodi HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaAvraham, Hashem let Avraham know, shesof zaro lishtabe be'eretz lahem. In some land, who says the Mitzrayim have to be the one to do it? Who said the Mitzrayim have to be the ones to do the dirty work of God, so to speak? V'nei Rashi pirish vo'ezkares brisi. And what is vo'ezkares brisi? Right here in the Psukim, the end of Pasuk Hey. Bris ben Abasar. Shamarti levagamas ha'goyeshe vode don anochi. So this is what Hashem is thinking about right now. Bris ben Abasarim. So lefi zeh, says the Apirion, maybe that's the emphasis of Mitzrayim avidam osam. Remember the Rambam says there, well, any nation could have said, well, I'm not going to do it. Let somebody else do it. The fact that you jumped in and subjugated and tortured, you're going to be punished for that. Because anyone could have stepped aside. The Mitzrayim. I didn't dafka say Mitzrayim. If the Mitzrayim wanted not to, that's the pasuk. I see the Mitzrayim avidim osam. I remember my bris that I didn't say any specific nation. So that's the first pshat alluding to the Rambam's shita. Rambam shita. The Ravid and the Ramban, if you're a member, do not like the Rambam Shita. And they say, what do you mean? If Hashem forecasts and prophesizes something, you should jump to do it. Well, you should want to fulfill the word of Hashem. If somebody's going to subjugate, I'll do it. Yeah. What do you mean? I won't do it. Hashem says it's going to happen. You shouldn't want to do it. So why? That's not, I don't like that pshat, says the Ravid and says the Ramban in Lech Lecha. So maybe there's another, but this is the first pshat. The Mitzrayim is emphasizing like the Rambam. Va'od yesh lomar, but there's another idea. Maybe based on the other shita. What's the other answer to the question of, didn't it say that it was forecast, so why are they punished? Va'od yesh lomar bashatir, it's harayvet sham, v'kushis harambam. What the Ravid answered, d'lakach nanshu ha-mitzriyim, ki abori yisborach lo omar rak, v'inu osam, v'him avdu v'hem befarech. Hashem said they will be subjugated. Who said they will be tortured? Who said that the babies will be thrown into the river? That wasn't forecast. Kinyan Shenemar, as Zachariah says, Ani katsafti ma'at v'heim azu l'ra. They went above and beyond. They went way beyond what it said in Bris Ben Abasarim. V'yesh lomar, ki zehu sha'omar v'gam ani shamati as nachas b'nei Yisrael, asher Mitzrayim avidam osam. I heard the cry that Mitzrayim is ma'avid. It's hard work, ma'avidam osam. The Mitzrayim are doing this, and they're going above and beyond. Asher avoda kazula also al daiti. I never had this in mind. V'lo haisa gzera si al kach. L'zoz v'eskores b'risi, asher amardi v'gam asayu gershi avodu don anochi. So both pshatim are alluded to in the pasuk. Asher Mitzrayim avidam osam. Why did Mitzrayim choose to do it? And why are they being ma'avid so hard? So both of those, Rambam and Ravid, are included. Just parenthetically, remember, in brackets, we discussed in past years the thought of the Be'er Yosef on this week's Parsha. Rabbi Yosef Misalad, who also connects to this idea, remember where he says the first os that Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron to show Paro is the mata changing into the nachash, right? The staff changing into the snake. And he asks, why is that the first? So he says, based on this idea, Paro thinks, I'm just the staff of God. I'm just a mate. I'm just a kli. What did I do? I'm not going to be punished. I'm just doing, Hashem's, a pawn. And what is the message? You're not a stick. You're a snake. You're acting independently, right? You're not just doing Hashem's work. You're going way past what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind. Okay. But this was part one of the Apirion, where he says both the Rambam and the Ravid are alluded to in this pasuk. But then he continues and says, "V'hine line 19 now. Mashi Yisrael lo nishtabtu b'Mitzrayim rak reish yud shana v'lo tov. We know they were supposed to be, what does it say in Brachos? 400 years. Arba me'o shana. And really, they only worked there 210. Rashi says that also in this week's Parsha. But if you do the math, the age of the Kohath and Amram and Moshe doesn't equal 400. And there are many overlapping years also. So Isa Tam Echad, so one of the reasons, as we know, Mishum de Kosh Kishu Yashibur Hishlim. The fact that it was so hard, that's Mashlim. because it was harder, that's why it was mashlim. Ubaze yesh lomar ha-hemshech ha-pi ha-medrash. Dela'el nomar, so now it's another shot to the psukim. Beforehand, the end of last week's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu says, lomar reyoso, why are you making it worse? Umeyos bati ha-par la-le-reshbecha, hey, rolamaze, it's gotten worse. And Hashem says to Moshe, atotireh. Right, the end of last week's parsha, last pasuk in the parsha. Atotireh, now you will see. What's the now? Now you will see, explains the Apirion. Me'achar shechvad es avoda. You see, it's gotten worse? That's exactly why now you're going to see the geula. If it didn't get worse, it wouldn't be time for the geula yet. Right? Atah, because of everything that I see, Mitzrayim avidim also, when it's gotten worse, that's why the geula is going to happen now. Because otherwise, it would still be another 190 years. Because the work has gotten harder, right? It wouldn't have come. The Gamla and the Mitzrayim wouldn't have been royal anosh, according to the Ravid. Because it's gotten worse, nishla maza azman v'tabo ha-geula, and that's why it's going to happen, because it's gotten worse. V'kiva chiksha moshe l'daber v'lomar l'mar yosel amazeh, Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to him harshly, as well. So this is included and implied and embedded in this pasuk is the Rambam and is the Ravid, and in that one word vata, because of all of this, that's why Hashem says now vata, it's gotten worse, but that's exactly part of the divine plan. Okay, we're not going to read the rest. Let's continue now. And we get to a well-known pasuk in the parsha, the pasuk of the Arba Lashonos of Geula. Lachen Amar L'Bnei Yisrael, Hashem says to tell B'nai Yisrael, Ani Hashem, V'otzeisi Eschem Mitachas Ilos Mitzrayim, V'itzalti Eschem Evodasam, I will take you out of the bondage of Egypt, V'itzalti, and I will save you from their avoda, V'ga'alti Eschem Mitzrayim Anetuya, U'bishvatim Gedolam, and I'll redeem you with a strong hand, an open hand, U'bishvatim Gedolam, V'lakakti Eschem Lil'am, is pointed out. There's a fifth lashon here. Many mefarshim, including the Netziv, we mentioned in past years. This year we'll see it here in source number 2 from the Divrei Mordechai or Mordechai Eliyahu, who talks about these aren't four lashonos. These aren't four synonyms describing the same event. Right? Often in Tanakh, in Navi, Nevi'im and Ksuvim, there is a machlokas between one of the great rishonim and one of the great achronim. The Radak and the Malbim. The Radak often says, Kafel ha'inyin b'milim shonos. It's the same idea. It says it's poetic license in Tanakh. And the Malbim Kimat always says, no, there's no such thing as a synonym or synonymous phrases. It's always meant something else. There's no such thing as a synonym, the Malbim would say. That's why he's so medactic on language. So here, many mefarshim say, really, there are four stages of Geula. Right? There's the physical bondage, then the being called slaves, then physically being geographically in, each of these are phrases. That's what he develops here in source number 2, an idea that many say. This isn't four expressions of the same idea. Right? Every lashon is a different stage. Kasher tachlis ha-geula hi, what's the tachlis, the ultimate, after these phrases? Right, what's the ultimate? Pasuk va, pasuk zayin. V'lakachti eschem lilam v'isi lachem alokim. V'yveischi eschem ala aretz asher nesasi es yadi. L'seisos ala avrim l'sokul Yaakov. So we'll get to that back in a minute. But first he says, Bir hadvarim. Lashon geula harishon ha-shamra ha-torah v'otzeisi eschem. Am Yisrael ha-yimishuba b'mitzrayim v'shibud zeh klal hashpala v'sevel nafshi. Physical and mental bondage. That's the first, stopping the physical labor. B'tchila motzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael misiv losam hasevel hanafshi. The physical and the psychological bondage were free. Achar kach v'yitzalti eschem me'avodasam atzal me'avodah kasha avodas haperach. Right, maybe he says even in the opposite order. Seems like he made them, you know, get out of the Evid mentality, and then maybe that helped cause the getting out of the physical. L'maisa dai haya b'shnei shavim elu geula. Really, they were free with just lows. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to stop there, just make them free. Hashem needed to show the world that he was the Meshachrer. Not just that they were free, but that he was the Meshachrer. line 10. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo ratza ligol as amu b'seiser ke'evet ha-boreach mefnei rabo. You don't want them to crawl or to scamper out at night. Lazos ramezes lashon gula shlishis. That's the third lashon. V'ga'alti eschem b'zroa netuya b'shatim gadolim. Out in the open. To show that I'm God. Again, every mefarsh has his own stages. The Nesiv has different ones. But here, says Reb Mordechai Eliyahu, the first two are they've basically done. Gets them out. But the third one is about doing it in public. Am Yisrael yiru as anisa b'gadolim. Am Yisrael will see the amazing miracles. The Zroa Netuya. Shos lam HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Mitzrayim. Ayidei zeh yachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'kacha says Am Yisrael li'os lo l'am segula. And then he comes to the Am Segula. What's this tachlis of the whole Geula? What does the Torah say here? 2 points. The Torah says there are two tachlios. There are two goals here. Pasuk Zayin and Pasuk Ches. Mikan bo amon lo tachlis ha-Geula. Tachlis rishon ha-Pasuk Zayin. Vidatem ki ani Hashem ha-motzi eschem. Tzorach ladash ha-Hashem hu ha-gol ha-podeh ha-matzav ha-lokeh ha-chadem shol yos lo-am segula. Am segula. How do you become an am segula? Through the Torah. The Torah is the treasure and it's given to the am segula. But that's Pasuk Zayin. What's Pasuk Ches? Vehevesi eschem el ha-aretz asher nasasi es yadi. Eretz Yisrael. The goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim is twofold. Giving the Jews the Torah and bringing them to the land of Israel. That's a package. It's a package. Remember the three Dvarim Matanis Tovos that were given to Bnei Yisrael, and they're given through Yisurin. Eretz Yisrael, Torah, and Olam Haba. Eretz Yisrael and Torah get us to Olam Haba. And he quotes from the Balaturim. The Balaturim on this week's Parsha in the Pasuk, V'nasadi l'salachem Morasha. Morasha only appears twice in the whole Torah. One regarding Torah, and one regarding Eretz Yisrael. Morasha is a heritage. It is something that is passed on from one generation to the next. That's what a Morasha is. Klomar, Eretz Yisrael v'Torah shteyan Yerushalonu mi'avoseinu, v'nidalona di'akadosh baruch hu b'schus avoseinu hakadoshim. But these are the goals of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? It says Beferish. No, you don't need Midrashim. The Psukim. Right? The Chazal say there's four Lashonos of Geula. And then, V'lakachti and Behevesi are not called Lashonos of Geula because those are goals. Those are goals. Torah and Eretz Yisrael, we have to recognize those are central. Those are central. Every single parsha in the Torah talks about the centrality of Torah and the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. And we have to make sure that we recognize that in our lives. Okay. So then we have a little break in the action for Yichus. Right? Once we're talking about Moshe and Aaron, and they're going to play a major role in the rest of the Torah, so the Torah takes a little break by Sheni and goes through all the Yichus for Moshe and Aaron. And once we're talking about Moshe and Aaron, you're not going to start in the middle. So we start at the beginning, and then we end. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and that's it. That's it. Because we started at the beginning, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Good. We have Reuven, Bechor, Yisrael, Chanoch. By the way, that's the answer to a trivia question. The only person, the only name in the Torah that four different people have that name. Chanoch. There are four different Chanochs in the Torah. Uvnei Shimon, Yimo, V'yamin, V'oad, V'chulu, V'eila. And then we get to Levi. Gershon, Kahas, and Merari. V'yigach Amram, Yocheved, Odasol, Olisha, Pasachaf. Amram takes his aunt, Yocheved, a relationship that would later become Ne'asar by the Torah. And they have Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. Only Aaron and Moshe are mentioned here. And the question that Moshe Feinstein asks in source number 3, where Moshe is 3 and 4, once I had it open to 3, I looked at 4, I'm like, okay, we'll do that too. So, 3. Vayigah Moshe is Yocheved, Mashalo Huskar, Shem Aviv, Shem Yi, Moshe, Moshe. Aracha Shedistav, Elios, Hagoel. Why aren't Moshe's parents' names mentioned in last week's parsha? Last week it just said, a man from Levi took a woman from Levi and had a baby and he was called Moshe, eventually. Only here it mentions their names. Why aren't their names mentioned earlier? Amram and Yocheved had Moshe. Amram was one of the four people that never sinned. You would think he's a tzaddik. He should be mentioned. So why wasn't their names mentioned? Nire Lanias Naiti. Lashminan Bazez says Moshe. Ramosha, I don't know, a large percentage of Ramosha Feinstein's Divrei Torah are about education. Major, major amount of his thoughts. She'ein la'adam, so says Ramosha, de'ein la'adam l'shtabeach bibino, afshe kishronos of gedolam ma'od. Somebody has a son, who has tremendous kochos. Amazing son, Alamilus. He's got everything. He's smart. He's handsome. He works hard. Person should be proud, again, nachas, but he shouldn't think, even if the whole house is filled with light because of this son. This child on autopilot. This child doesn't really need much. Let him go. There are other children that need a lot of pikuach. This one doesn't need any pikuach. Says Rav Moshe, every child needs pikuach. Every child needs hashgacha. Every child needs parent involvement. As much as the child would let. You know, we have to try to make sure, do our best. Kefi shederech harbei b'nei adam, shekshesh lam ben bal kishron, gadol, so mechalav shlo lechancho. Some parents have the attitude of, if he's kind of great and amazing, so doesn't need so much education. V'lo liyasro b'yoser, have to punish him too much. Ki choshev shavadi etam l'chacham y'elokim. Says Rav Moshe, no. Every child. And maybe the ones that have the most talent need the most, because adarabah. Why? Yesh lachush shebekishronosav hagadolim yizgadel b'inyanam acherim. V'yizpatel yisro, if he's so great in potential Torah areas and he's wise, he might use that for other reasons. Kegadol mechaver sheyisro gadolim men, as the Goren Sukkah says. V'sorach lo modito b'yoser ulachancho b'yoser lashgiach alav, to learn with him and educate him and be mashgiach. Doesn't matter. So, says Rav Moshe, maybe that's alluded to in the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's parents aren't mentioned. Amram and Yocheved had a Moshe. Yeah, that's our kid. That's our kid. They were very proud. No, they maybe doesn't mention them because they didn't shine in his light by the fact that he was, right, because he was born with light coming out of the basket. Once he becomes the Goel, okay, you still have to educate until 120, but once he becomes the Goel, Shalachin Lonish Tabeach Amram Yocheved Bibno Agadol Mikala Olam Achin Is Gadol Vanasanovi Hashem Vashliach Lagula. All the years doesn't quote their names because they were busy parents. They worked with him and educated him and spent time with him. Obviously, when he was in Midian, he wasn't with them. But just to give us the message, give us the message that it wasn't that, you know who we are? Our names? You know our names. We are Moshe's parents. Right? They didn't have that attitude. Not until Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi Lashem. And the Goel, again, a person can be proud of their kid and, you know, at a young, it doesn't mean that you're not to, have nachas. And at a younger, where Moshe is just saying that shouldn't come in exclusively, you know, without being involved in education as well. Okay. The other point to mention, once we're on the page of the Drash Moshe, so I had it open. So the second thought is, I thought that many say, but Moshe relates it to a Gemara, right? Who Aaron and Moshe? Who Moshe the Aaron? Rashi quotes there on a couple of psukim from now when it goes back after the Yichus is mentioned. Sheshkulin ke'echad. Moshe and Aaron are equal. Moshe Aaron, Aaron Moshe. That's why the order is sometimes changed. And the question that Moshe and many mefarshim ask, and that is, it's not true. Moshe is much greater than Aaron in terms of nevuah, in terms of leadership. Who davar tamuah? Moshe yadon haneviim v'rabban shakol haolam v'yadonin the Torah. Moshe gave us the Torah. Eich amar sha'aron shakul. Right, Aaron is shakul. Right, what does that mean? So he gives to pshatim. Give it shagam. Aaron ha'yev shlichas Hashem lo tiz Yisrael. Right, maybe you're in terms of shlichas Hashem. Av shekach Moshe gadol mikamach yev shagam Aaron hutzrach lios bazeh shavin. They were a team in terms of taking Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Okay, that means in this regard they were shavin. But then Rav Moshe says that more popular answer, line 10, the kima de Aaron asa kol yama bishlemus, kol ratzon Hashem yisbarach shaya efshalo lasos u'shakul kamoshe. Aaron fulfilled his potential and did his avoda like Moshe Rabbeinu fulfilled his potential and did his avoda. Right? You don't measure it in dafim, you don't measure it in mitzvos, you measure it in potential. Every one of us, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that. He knows what we each could do. He knows how much we could push ourselves. Only Hashem knows. So Aaron and Moshe pushed themselves and they succeeded. Av Moshe yagadol, l'chein hayalav yosidvar. Moshe had more potential, so he had to fulfill higher. Become akam. Kivet sheshneim asu mashin stavu v'nishlechu. So they were shavu l'mala. You know, and sometimes we don't know this. You know, sometimes we'll look around to our our neighbors, to our neighbors in shul, we'll see, you know, I'm there on time and I'm there to the end. I see this guy comes in late and he quickly, does the short in Pesukah de Zimra and, you know, maybe checks his phone a couple of times or Chazaras HaShatz. And I'm looking, I'm like, what's this guy has a lot to work on. Has a lot to work on, right? We should look at ourselves. Not our job to tell anybody else what to work on. But who knows? Maybe he has such a yetzer not to come to shul. Just coming to shul is a huge, okay, it doesn't mean that the rabbi should never give any, or the mashpia should never give any tochacha or musar in a nice way and say, we should try to do a little bit, obviously. But in just terms of personal judgment, but to recognize everybody has their own potential and their own challenges. So you can't tell from the outside. And that's where Moshe says, maybe is the idea of the Gemara Babasra Dafyut. The Gemara there says, you remember the Gemara? Yosef, Reader of Yeshua. Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, was very, very ill, and he was like floating between life and death. Ingid, Amarle. And then the father is talking to him. He still was, I guess, semi-conscious. Amarle Avo Machazis. The father knew, what do you see? What do you see in the other world? Amarle Olam Hafach Ra'isi. I see an upside down world. El Yonim Lamatav Tachton Lamala. The ones that are up are down, the ones that are down are up. And his father says, you see an olam bara ra'isa. You don't see an upside down world, you see a right side up world. That's the Gemara. Shatamua ma'ot. Ech amar shu olam hafach. So what did he mean by an olam hafach? What did Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, mean by an olam hafach? Havadai olam azeh ha'adam ro'a rak le'inayim. This is the olam hafach. And that's the olam ha'emes. The son knew that. But the father said, no, that's the olam bara. The son knew that too. So what did he mean by olam hafuch ra'isi? I see an upside down world. So Sarach Lomar says Reb Moshe, line 22. Dira'a shegam ba'olam ha'emes omrim shehem elyonim elu shehayu yuduim b'kano elyonim. Now even in that world, there was an olam ha'emes, but there's something upside down within that world. What does that mean? The ones that are elyonim are also elyonim. Ve'la tachtonim shein tachtonim. That didn't change. Mikom akom, still, elyonim lamatav tachtonim lamala. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that the elyonim are put, their elyonim are still up there and the tachtonim are still down there. But what does it mean? Eishav lo aviv sholom borer mishum shakadosh baruch hu inu ba betrunya. Hashem doesn't come unfairly to his creations. V'tovei mikol echad rak afi kocho. V'lachein. Right. You see, this person did so many dafim, and this person did so very few dafim. Or this one did so much chesed, this one did a lot of chesed. But the ones that did less, they're above. Because that was their potential. And people who are so lamala, it's an olam hafach because it's not objective. It's not objective, he says. Right? Elyonim lamata, the elyonim might not have fulfilled all of their potential. So it's lamata from their kochos. And tachtonim lamala, because they fulfilled everything that they could fulfill. And says Reb Moshe, that's what the father was teaching. He said olam hafach, but really olam barer in this regard. Okay, that's Reb Moshe about shavim him. We continue. And we get to, we can appreciate this thought based on reading the psukim. Sometimes we get lost in the Chumash and Rashi. We go, Pasuk Rashi, Pasuk Unkelus Rashi, whatever you do, and we don't get the broader view. Sometimes it's good to just read it once through the broader view. Says the Torah. So we have this whole lineage listed. And then who are we, Moshe? And then the pasuk goes back to repeat what we have been talking about before the names are listed. These are them. They were talking to Paro. Who Moshe v'Aaron. And then, Vayhi, last pasuk before Shlishi. Vayhi b'yom diber Hashem Moshe b'Eretz Mitzrayim. And it was on the day that Hashem spoke to Moshe in Eretz Mitzrayim. And then the next pasuk. Vayidab Hashem Moshe le'mor ani Hashem, daber go to Paro and tell him. What is pasuk Chaf Ches teaching me? Seems to be totally extra. Right? The pasuk already said, we're getting back to Moshe and Aaron. These are the ones that spoke to Paro. And next pasuk Chavtes, Hashem told Moshe to say this. What is this pasuk saying? Anything? And it was on the day that Hashem spoke to Moshe Be'eretz Mitzrayim. What is that pasuk teaching me? So if you look in the Nachlat Tzvi, which we've quoted sometimes, so he says some Mefarshim connect this pasuk to the previous section, some to the next section. I, says the Nachlat Tzvi, think it's its own idea. This pasuk is telling us a separate, independent idea. Vanil Linnaeus Daiti, he says on line 3, I'm in source number 6. No, I'm sorry. Source number 5. Kol ha-pasuk hazeh miyutar v'einu muvan. For here I'm a farshim. Mehem amru shu mechubar lo-mikdash l'achra. Some say la-lefanav. Vanil Linnaeus Daiti, sha-pasuk eino mechubar lo-lamav lo-lamata. It's not connected to either. V'zehu maimar muskar bifnei atzmo. It's saying a separate idea. Tehinei. Moshe Hayagadol Yoser Mishar Kol Anaviim V'Nikra Adon Anaviim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest of the prophets, as we know, as we mentioned earlier, the greatest. Umilvad Kol Shar Hamadregos Zocha Hakadosh Baruch Hu Diberi Mo Bayom. One of the differences, the Rambam Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, one of the uniquenesses of Moshe Rabbeinu was that he spoke to Hashem when he was awake, daytime, wasn't sleeping and dreaming. Daytime he spoke to him, right? Like it says in the Baal Oscha. Like somebody talks to their friend. Mashe lahavdil, a little bit lahavdil. Mashe ein kein etzel shara neviim ksiv b'chalom adaber bo. By other neviim, it was at night. B'chalom had a dream. So number one, Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, was gadol neviim. He spoke to Hashem even during the day. Point one. Point two. The yesh lomar kibios sheparo machashiv gadol hayasher lo haya kamohu. Paro was a super magician. Super dark side user. Super, he knew everything about, right? If Mitzrayim was full of Kishuf, he was the super, the president of the Kishuf society. He knew everything. He was at the top of the dark world. Umilvad ze hayahu az molech bekipa. As we know, he ruled over the whole world. V'hayim natsarech lahamid kenegdo ezelu mazeh. Because he had such amazing dark power in Mitzrayim, Hashem had to bring an amazing good power in Mitzrayim. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't reach all of his levels until later, by Mamre Sinai. But Hashem had to bring somebody, Zelu Umazeh, as we know. Hashem always levels the playing field. Navi Gadol. And that's why later on, by Moshe Rabbeinu, we had to have Bilam to counter that. Asher lo kam kamo. V'chein me'idah Torah Kedosha shenemar gamo ish Moshe gadol ma'od be'eretz Mitzrayim. As we know, next week's parsha, Moshe was great, be'ini eretz Mitzrayim, be'ini avdei paro. That's what the pasuk. All of this is what the pasuk is teaching me. What does the pasuk say? Vayehi biyom diber Hashem al Moshe. During the day. During the day. And why did you need such a Navi that would speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even during the day? Be'eretz Mitzrayim. Because he was in Mitzrayim, where Kishuf was rampant, and you had a Parah who was on top of the pyramid. And you needed somebody in Ruchnius to counter that evil power that Parah represented. Vayhi biyom diber Hashem al Moshe, v'kasha, lama zocha davka Moshe, shekadosh baruch hu diber ala bayom, v'lo b'chizin yon laila. Why was he zocha? Even at that time, you might say later on, as he got closer to giving the Torah, that's when maybe he got to his levels. But who says here, al ze amar be'eretz Mitzrayim, Hainu al odos eretz Mitzrayim, kamo shamarnu, hayam natsorach lasoso, adon kol anaviim, so that dvarev nishmoim al parav al avada, befrat l'chol b'eretz b'nei Yisrael, b'chlau. There was so much dark forces, spiritual forces going around, so we needed to counter that. So that's what this pasuk is teaching me. Why Moshe Rabbeinu? Alluding to his uniqueness, one of the uniquenesses, bayom, and that why it was needed right now. Okay, so we continue. And we go to the meeting. Hashem says to Moshe, go to Paro, and this is the first sign. I'm going to harden his heart. He's not going to listen to you. Bishvatim gedolim. And they do everything. And Moshe was 80. Aaron was 83, which I always found amazing. Aaron was a Navi before Moshe was born. That means Aaron was less than three years old when he was a Navi. Okay? Vayomar Hashem Moshe v'Aaron Limar, go do a Moface. What's the Moface? Kach es matcha v'ashlech lonit Paro yilatanin. So he throws his stick down. So they come, Aaron throws his stick, it becomes a snake, a tanin. Paro calls his own magicians, and they do it too. But then the Torah adds, Aaron's stick swallowed up all the other sticks. And Rashi points out, even after it came a stick again. Even after it became a stick again, it swallowed up the other sticks. Says the Medrash. Source number six, you look in the Rav Shlomo Kluger, the Imre Shefer, quotes the Medrash on the third line. Neis gadol nase b'mata. There was an amazing miracle that happened with Aaron's stick. So you might say, what's the miracle? It turned into a snake, and then it turned back into a stick, and it swallowed the other sticks. No, there's something else. There's another nace that happened. Sha'af al pi shebala kolos anamatos shishlichu shahayu rabim v'lo huava. It didn't get thicker when it swallowed up the stick. It didn't gain any weight by swallowing up all the other sticks. You know, you would think, what's the I guess that is magic. We like to have, you know, a lot of ice cream and our cakes, and we wish there was a miracle like this, right? That we wouldn't be whoever. But Aaron's stick wasn't whoever. V'chol she'ro'osa omar zemata Aaron. And everybody could say, v'yivla, what does the pasuk say? V'yivla mata Aaron as matosam. It stayed clearly mata Aaron. It stayed exactly as it looked before. Mikan she'yamata Aaron, simen tov lasos bonisa neflos l'daros. And this is a simen tov that it's going to be used in the future for amazing miracles. And the question with Esther Shlomo Kluger, what's the message of the Medrash? Why was it so crucial not to get fatter? You would think the opposite. It would get fatter. That would really show that it ate the eighth of sticks. You might say it's even a good thing. V'tamua. Minayin shezel simin she'nase bahamata nisim. And the fact that it didn't get thick, that's a reason to show that it's going to perform miracles in the future. V'nira. Says the Imre Shefer. Wouldn't that be better? Wouldn't it be better to have those others in there? Says the Emre Shefer, no. This week's parasha, it was going to be used for dam, it's for daya. Remember, the Chartumim also did magic with their sticks. They made them change into snakes. Just like Mata Aaron Bala Osam. V'katsu ha-mefarshim, Paro chaya sover, sh'aron ha-moshe, b'kiyam yosur, michach mazu. Paro saw, and he just thought, there was a quantitative leap between his Chartumim and Moshe and Aaron. Okay, Moshe and Aaron, I see, they're really good magicians. But he didn't think there was something different. Ulefizeh. You know what the worry is? If Aaron's staff swallows all of the other staffs and it's fat now, and now Aaron goes and does all of the magic with his stick, you know what people might say? You know why this is working? Because of the other sticks that are inside of it. That's why it's working. He's got my stick in there, and that's why it's working. Maybe Aaron has something to do with it, but matos hachartumim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do another nase that it wouldn't get fat. So people would realize this is just Aaron's mata. Shelo yu'ube klal, rakha yamata Aaron kemikadim, exactly what it was before. V'yalkein yadu acharkach, then they'll only know it's Aaron's, and that's the Medrash, that this could be used for Nisim in the future. Because if not, it wouldn't be able to be used. Because then it would be ambiguous, right? Who's causing? Pirish, ha-Medrash, shekola roa oso omer zemata Aaron, what's a lomar? Shekola roa omer zemata Aaron levad, vein bo shum dover acher klal. It quotes that from the Ifas Torah also, V'lachain, Shaper, Messiah, that's the Medrash, that it is the, it is a sin. Okay. Moving right along. Source 7. So we gotta talk about the Makas a little bit. So there's a Medrash. And what's called a Harifus, a Lumdus. From the Pardes Yosef. Pardes Yosef, we don't do that often. It's an achron from 100 plus years ago that doesn't give Divrei Torah like Vartz. He has lumdus discussions. So first he starts off with a Medrash. But the Pasuk says by Dam that the fish died. V'hadaga asher b'ya'or mesa. The fish died in Perek Zayin Pasuk Chaf Aleph. So the Medrash says, Source 7, Vadagash Bayar Besa, Amr Rabbi Avin, is the Medrash on this week's Parsha. Amr Rabbi Avin, Halevi Barebi. Mimakas dam he'eshiru Yisrael. From the makah of dam, the Jews got rich. The Jews got rich from the makah of dam. How? Ketzad. Hamitzri v'Yisrael b'bayis echad. If a Jew and a Mitzri were in one house, va'gigas malei amayim, you have a barrel of water, va'mitzri halach l'malas akito mitocha, and the Mitzri sticks his cup in the barrel, guess what comes out? Blood. V'Yisrael shows amayim mitocha gigas, and the Jew sticks his cup in, and water. Va'mitzri omer lo, tein libiatcha mayim, can I please have some water, the Mitzri says, and the Jew pours from his cup into the Mitzri's cup, and it becomes blood. Doesn't work. V'omer lo, Nishta anivyata minakara achas. So what, you know what? Forget pouring. Let's drink at the same time. Let's take two straws, and you have your straw, and one, two, three, and water goes out for the Jew, and blood goes out for the Mitzri. Nothing's working until he buys it. If an Egyptian would pay a Jew for the water, then it would stay water. Ukshu lokeach v'Yisrael bedamim, hayashose mayim, mikan hashir Yisrael. So that's how you know that the Mitzrayim became rich. The Jews became rich from the Mitzrayim because of this. The only way that the Egyptian would have water is if they would buy it. Good. After parties Yosef, what does this have to do with the pasuk that the Medrash is commenting on? The Medrash is always connected to the pasuk. It says, the fish died. What does that have to do with this whole thing about the Jews getting rich? It's a beautiful Medrash. We all learned it in third grade. We think it's really cool. Right? Two straws, and you're red, and I'm white. But what does this have to do with the pasuk? So he quotes, the part is here, so he quotes the Arachayim, which we're not going to go into now. So he quotes the Medrash. Right? The Medrash Kasha, line 4. Hashaychus ha-de-hashira la-pasuk v'adaka shabayar. V'ra'isi di-yeshlamer, he says, I saw a question that's asked. What exactly happened by Makas Dam? Pirish echad, tayar nefach ladam, v'Yisrael sheba lamalos mayim, yar nefach bekado lamayim. Is it that Hashem changed all the water to blood? Is it all blood, and when the Jew took it, it turned to water? Or is it that it was water, but when the Mitzrayim took it, it turned to blood? What was it? Was it water that turned to blood every time the Egyptians took it, or was it blood that turned to water every time the Jews took it? That's the question. Says the Paradise Yosef, you see from this pasuk, that it had to be, that it stayed water, and when the Egyptians took it, it turned to blood. Uran mikach muchach kepirish base. Base. That it was water, and then it turned to blood. Why? The kasha. Because if it really turned to blood, then why would the pasuk have to say the fish died? Obviously, if it was all blood, the fish died. You wouldn't have to say that. That wouldn't be miraculous. Fish can't live in blood. If it's all blood, obviously the fish died. It must be that that's part of the miracle. It was water. It was water. And it's just when the Egyptians touched it or went to it, right? When the pasuk says that it turned to blood, it means it turned into potential blood. And whenever an Egyptian picked it up, it was blood. So then there's a chiddush because it's still water before the Egyptians took it. And that's the chiddush of the Torah. The fish died. Even though it was still water, b'mahus. Elavadai, line 11. Shemayim lo nishtanu klau. Rak biyada mitzri nefach ladam. Right? Because after all, right? Biyada mitzri changed to blood. V'gam shnei, right? Hayam dagan mesu. Also the, right? That the dagan yam mesu. So that's why the, that's a chiddush based on the fact that it's water. But one second. Ask the Paradis Yosef. Why did Hashem do it this way? Why did Hashem leave it water and then make it change to blood? Why didn't he make it blood and then change, that's a one-time nace, and then change back to water? After all, Hashem always likes to be Mamayit Nisim a little bit. There are less Jews than Mitzrayim. So make it go from blood to water, that's less time than from water to blood, which is there are more Mitzrayim. Why did it do that? Why did it do that? Again, step by step. Why did it do that? It must be because if it would change to water, if it would change to water, then the Jew would not be able to sell that water. Because you're not allowed to get a hanah from Maisa Nisim. Chazal say. Hayah hanes biyad Yisrael. Lo havi rishon lanos bimendo v'limkar. The Maisa Nisim asurin b'hanah. Discussion by Chanukah. V'lachein nasa hanes biyad Mitzrayim. That's why it was really water. So when the Jews picked up the water, it was water. I sold it to you. It stays water. I'm not getting hanah from Maisa Nisim. But the fact that it was water, how do we know that it was water? Because the pasuk says, "Vadaga shabayar mesa." because the fish died. That's how we know it was water, because they wouldn't have to say that if it turned to blood, because it would be obvious. Says the party, he put this all together. The fish dying, on that pasuk, Jews became rich. Because fish dying means it was really water and not blood, because or else why would the pasuk have to say that? And if it was really water and not blood, that's why the fish died, and that's why they were allowed to sell it, because there's no issue of getting hana from Ma'is Anis. That's what's called the Harifus in the Paradis Yosef. If you look in the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, just parenthetically, he says exactly the opposite in one detail. He says, well, was it just sleight of hand, or was it really changed to blood? He says, that's why the Torah says the fish died. To reflect that, it was really changed to blood. It wasn't just looked like blood. It wasn't just like red. It was real blood, which is exactly the opposite of what the Paradis Yosef said, but just to mention that. Okay, one more thought. It's a thought that we've mentioned a number of times in the past, but I just wanted to add on a story this time. A story which I don't think I've mentioned in the past. And that is the thought of the stipler and the Birchas Peretz here at source number 9. He asks, and many talk about this stipler, and that probably, I would say, going out on a limb here, if there is a famous stipler in the Birchas Peretz on Chumash, this is it. This is it. And that is the question of, we know, Tzvardeya, one big frog. Rashi says, have the Makkah happen, one big frog came out, every time they hit the frog, then it became more frogs, and more frogs than more frogs. So he asked the stipler in the Birchas Peretz, if they see that every time they hit the frog, it becomes more frogs, so just stop hitting the frog. Just calm down and stop hitting the frog, and then you'll see, it's just getting worse for you. Every time you hit the frog, it becomes more frogs, so stop hitting the frog. Says the Birchas Peretz, that's what Ka'as does to you. When a person is angry, they don't think. They can't think logically. They can't think about what's really good for them. And that's what the Mishraim were angry. Right? Every time there's road rage, there's so many situations, anger takes us out of our world. Avoma midas hakas omeres, line 5. Adaraba. Right? What does Kas tell you? Hit it harder. Hit it harder. Right? Kivan shemosifa lahatis. Koshikim koshikim shikim hosiflis nakemi meta. It's more frogs? I'm going to really smash it. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. The kosher sifa lahatis, hosifa lichos, the chamasam bara bohem. And that chazar chalila, and that's what happens. We have to stay away from anger, the Rambam, in Hilchos Deos, the two mitos that we have to stay far away from, kas and gaiva, the two exceptions to the rule. I gave you two pages of the, Archa Sadikim, where the Archa Sadikim discusses what anger does, even to Moshe Rabbeinu. Even to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry numerous times, and he forgot his learning. We all want to be loved by Hashem. Right, Gemara, Psachim, Kuf Yud Gimel. Shlosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu O'avan. Ve'echa mehen mi she'eno koes. Someone doesn't get angry. So there's a lot. We're not having a shiur about this, but we have to recognize what Kaz does. For our purposes, it takes us out of our world. You can't, and then he says on the next page, you're not going to listen to anybody, and nobody's going to listen to you. Right? You can't give tochacha to achirim. So there's a lot to talk about. But just to add on one story related to this. I've heard this story before, but I didn't hear one detail of it. But they say, the Noda Bihuda. Right? There was the days of the Noda Bihuda, the chief rabbi in Prague, there was on the way to Prague, there was a wagon driver taking his balabas with a bunch of, bottles of wine, barrels of wine in the back. And they were traveling, and they had to sleep over at an inn. Overnight, so they slept and they went to sleep. The balabas in one bed and the wagon driver in the other bed. And when the balabas wakes up, and to his dismay, chagrin, surprise, he sees the wagon driver wearing his clothes. He says, "What are you doing?" He says, "What do you mean? What are you doing, wagon driver? Let's go get your clothes on." Like, what are you talking about? You're my wagon driver. He's like, "I don't know what you're talking about. You're my wagon driver. I don't know what you're talking about. Get your clothes on and let's go." Ain Brera, he was in his pajamas. What was he supposed to do? So he puts on the clothes of the wagon driver and he says, "Let's go! You need to get the horses!" And he's stuck and he's... So they're on the way to Prague. So the wagon driver, who's really the balabas, goes straight to the Bezdin of the Noda Bihuda. Right? Then he goes to the Noda Bihuda and they go to him and he says, "Rebbe, I'm the balabas! This is the wagon driver and I don't know, he stole my clothing." And the other guy says, "I don't know what he's talking about. I'm the balabas, and this is my wagon driver, and I don't know why we're here in your Bezdin." So Noda Bihuda looks at them, and said that they're there in the afternoon. He says, you know what? I'm a little busy right now. After dinner tonight, you know, I'm going to sort this out. They're like, fine. So they're sitting and waiting for him. After dinner that night, the Rebbe Yehuda comes in and says, you know what? I'm just a little busy. I have to give shir to my talmidim tonight. You know what? Maybe tomorrow morning, right after davening, I'll sort this out and deal with it. They're like, okay. They're getting a little, you know, just deal with it. After davening the next morning, you know, the Yehuda comes over to them and says, you know what? I would love to take care of this, but you know, I have a family, you know, obligation I have to take care of. You know what? Let's right after mincha. Mincha, 5 hours. Okay. After mincha, they're like losing their patience right now. No, the Yehuda comes in and says, you know what? I forgot it's Tuesday. I have to give a shiur to. So they're like, what? So the Yehuda goes out again. He sees, and they're losing it. So a couple hours later, the Noda Behuda, you know, they're like waiting, and they're just like, they've been there for a whole day. You know, the Behuda hasn't given them the, all of a sudden the Noda Behuda, you know, they're sitting there, and all of a sudden the Noda Behuda comes from behind them and says, wagon driver! And all of a sudden the wagon driver jumps up and he's like, gotcha. He says, why? Because when a person gets angry, so then they don't think about all their cheshbonos. They don't think about exactly thought out what they want to do, how they want to do it. You're off. You're off balance when one is angry, and therefore just the natural, you know, whatever you're used to, you know, you don't think about anything. You just do it. You just act instinctively without thinking about whether this is good for you or not. And the Rebbe Yehuda did that in order to be able to, it's not like the Dayan has got to think out of the box in order to come to a proper din Torah. Okay, we'll stop here, and Rebbe Hashem should be zochet to be able to appreciate all of these makas. And again, today's shiur was dedicated in memory of Basia Bas Nachum Ber, Bis Beatrice Cook, upon her 10th yahrzeit by Dr. Arthur and Linda Cook. We thank them for the sponsorship.